Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey welcoming you to our time together. And it's probably a good thing that I identified myself because I really don't sound like myself. This week I have had my annual battle between the pollen and my sinuses, and until just the last day or two, I thought the pollen was winning. But I am feeling better, and but my voice obviously has not returned yet. So I hope you'll be able to understand my message today, and hopefully next week everything will be back to normal. My voice will have returned and everything will be back to normal. So thank you for joining us on this wonderful Sunday when we actually will be celebrating communion in our sanctuary. So the message today is actually going to be a little bit shorter. We will be celebrating communion in our sanctuary where we have that wonderful opportunity to recommit our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Alan Best also has prepared for us a great song entitled, Change My Heart, O God. I think you're going to enjoy hearing it very, very much. So, as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, thank you for gathering us together in your presence. We thank you for the opportunity to acknowledge your sovereignty, and we acknowledge all that you have done for us. And Lord, indeed, we do say thank you. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word today, and that you'll help us, Lord, to truly understand. So we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have entitled this morning's message, Are You Forgetting Something? It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we are now wrapping up the official Easter season, I thought it was important that we remind ourselves that so much has happened during this Easter season. We are reminded of all that Jesus did for each of us. But I wanted to say that as we look back upon this season of Easter, I hope that everyone has taken a heartfelt moment to say thank you to Jesus. And if you haven't, Are you forgetting something? I mean, think about what Jesus has done. Think about his death on a cross. Think about, over the course of his ministry, all that he has taught us. Think of all of the sacrifice that he has made, teaching us how to live. And in fact, as we look back over our lives, do we take him for granted? What would the world look like if we were more thankful for what we have instead of wanting more? It's one thing to be grateful, but thankfulness takes on a whole different level. Now Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, was a doctor, and he decided to investigate the claims of Jesus for himself. So he interviewed a bunch of people, and after he had interviewed one person, he heard this amazing story and thought, oh, I have to write this down. This is the story that he shares with us here in chapter 17, where it says that, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Yes, Luke is recording that Jesus and his followers are on their way to Jerusalem for the last time to celebrate one of the Jewish traditions, Passover. In order to get there, they had to pass through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And all along the way to Jerusalem, there were these small towns or villages that traveling caravans could stop in, rest, get supplies, and then continue with their journey. We don't know exactly which village Jesus entered into, but we do know who was waiting for him when he arrived. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, it tells us in Scripture. Now, leprosy is a disease that still exists today. It's a horrible skin disease in which the skin slowly decays and deteriorates over time. And they would have had been social outcasts. These 10 who were waiting for him, they would have been shunned by all of the other people. And in fact, if you were diagnosed as having having leprosy, by law you were forced to leave your family, your friends, your job, and live only with others who also had leprosy. They were quarantined together. They were not allowed to have any contact with other people. And whenever they were walking down the street, they were supposed to yell, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could avoid them. So it is no wonder that these 10 stood at a distance. This, they hoped, was their chance. With these people living on the outskirts of a village that was well-traveled, word had most likely spread that this rabbi, this preacher and healer, was going to be passing through. He had healed the sick, the blind, and mute. He had fed thousands. Could he have the power to heal a skin disease? Yes, they waited anxiously in anticipation at the entrance of the village for Jesus to show up. Minutes seemed like hours, probably even days, but they waited. And then finally, they see a large crowd, and in that crowd, it's him. This was the moment they had been waiting for. They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Their cry acknowledged Jesus as their Master and asked that he would have mercy or pity on them. Now these shouts got Jesus' attention. And he had compassion for them. And he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now for us, when we read this, it doesn't make much sense. But as Luke's readers were first reading this, they understood perfectly. You see, even though they had doctors, it was the priests who were given the responsibility to determine whether or not someone was fit to rejoin society, even when it came to leprosy. And so people would come to the priests, and if the priests checked them and gave them a clean bill of health, then they could go back and rejoin their family and friends. Well, Jesus says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And then something unbelievable happens. It says in verse 14, "And as they went, they were cleansed." Well, you can imagine the awe that they were feeling as they started to look down at their hands, and then their arms, and then their legs and feet. As they went, they weren't just healed, they were cleansed. And now all they had to do was present themselves to the priests, as Jesus said, and then they would be able to return to their homes, to their families, their friends and loved ones, like returning home after years of being in isolation. They would have been thrilled. But then something even more incredible happened. Something that Luke had to write down when he heard this story. He said to himself, "I've got to make sure that people know what happened next." It says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Now this one man knew that he needed to pause and return to Jesus and give him the thanks that he deserved. He stopped, turned around, and this time, instead of yelling, "Unclean, unclean," he goes through the crowd and with a loud voice praises God. And then when he sees Jesus, this time he doesn't stand at a distance. He falls at his feet and gives him thanks. And then Luke adds something for his readers that we don't quite understand. He says, "And he was a Samaritan." We read that and we think, well, that's no big deal. But Luke's readers would have read this and said, "Wait a minute, a Samaritan? That is a huge deal." Samaritans were a people who were looked down upon by the Jews. Out of all the people to return and give thanks to a Jewish rabbi, it was a Samaritan. And then Jesus responds with three poignant questions. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Why did only one person return? What was it that made this man pause, turn around, and give praise? Weren't they all grateful? All 10 of these people just experienced a life-altering miracle. Their lives were about to change forever. So surely they were all grateful. But only one person turned his gratefulness into true thankfulness. Being grateful is an emotion. Grateful is a feeling. But being thankful is an action. Thankful is doing something about it. Instead of continually looking forward toward the things he was going to do, he paused, turned back, and turned his gratefulness for what Jesus had done into thanksgiving for what Jesus had done. If there is one thing that we are supposed to get from reading this passage, it's this. In our lives, we need to pause and turn our gratefulness into thankfulness. And then Jesus said something to him that was even more incredible than getting healed. Jesus said something to him that would have made him thankful not just for the rest of the day, but for the rest of his life. And it ought to cause us to be thankful for the rest of our lives as well. And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Literally, in the original Greek, it could be translated, "Your faith has saved you." In essence, Jesus is saying, "I didn't just come here to cleanse you from a physical disease. I came for so much more, that you may be saved." And for this one man, his life changed the day that he paused and turned his grateful heart into thankfulness. He paused from his joyful journey. He realized that Jesus had actually responded to his cry for mercy. And he went back praising God and fell at Jesus' feet to say thank you. So during this time when we are wrapping up the Easter season for yet another year, this is scripture for us to ponder. Many of us are grateful to Jesus. We feel it in our hearts, but we need to give him thanks. But don't let your thankfulness stop just with Jesus, because there are people in our lives who the Lord has used that we need to give thanks to. Giving thanks is crucial when it comes to the overall health of our families and our relationships with each other. When we are returning our grateful hearts into thankfulness, we need to be specific when we give thanks. And be honest. Be authentic in our thanks. We can't fake it. Don't say thanks because you feel like you're supposed to. Say thanks only if you truly are thankful. The Samaritan didn't turn and go back to Jesus and give thanks because it was what he was supposed to do. He'd already been healed. No, he did it because that's what he wanted to do. He was genuine. Can you imagine what the world would look like if we got this one thing right from here on out? If all of the world would turn to thankfulness instead of entitlement? When we would look at all that we have, all that God has given us, all the freedoms and blessings that we have, instead of turning on one another and espousing hatefulness and greed and a desire for more and more and more, if we would just say thank you first to God and then to one another for helping to make it all come to pass. And what about us as the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, the truth is, one of the reasons why we come to church is to give thanks, isn't it? It is one of the reasons why I love the local church, and I love coming to church on Sunday morning. It is a time in our busy weekly schedule where we slow down and we come together. And through prayer, song, fellowship, and the preaching of God's word, we can turn our grateful into thankful. This morning, we will be also using the opportunity of the Lord's Supper to say thank you to Jesus Christ and to God for providing us with that love through his Son Jesus. Yes, it's a time where we can specifically and honestly demonstrate our thankfulness to God, both publicly as a corporate body and privately in our own hearts and minds. So every week, including today, let's pause. Let's make sure that we're not forgetting something. Let's say thank you to Jesus. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, let us worship as we hear Alan Vest perform Change My Heart, O God. The lyrics are by Hillsong Music and Alan Vest. This particular arrangement is arranged and performed by Alan. Here is Change My Heart, O God.
true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my life, O God. Let me see.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song. And friends, as we look forward to this coming week, let's make sure that we're not one of those who forgets something, who forgets to go back and thank Jesus for all that he has done for us. Help us to be the ones who aren't just harboring an emotion of gratefulness, but that we truly express our thankfulness, expressing it in meaningful ways. It will make the world a better place. Well, friends, thank you for being with us today. I apologize again for my voice. I hope it hasn't been too much of a distraction. And let's trust that next week my voice will be back to normal. So thank you for being with us. Have a wonderful week ahead. And thanks for listening.